Kia ora koutou, greetings everyone. Good morning. It's great to be with you again. Nō mai, haere mai, ki tōna ahurewa tapu. Welcome to the sacred place for the sacred service. I want to tell you about the stole festival, green stole, because it's the green season for Trinity Pentecost that the church celebrates for a whole lot of weeks. When Heather and I were at St. John's College training for the ministry, my best mate was this big Fijian guy, Thama, and we got into a lot of mischief together. And on finishing our training, he gave me a set of Fijian stoles. He went back to Fiji and was, a couple of years ago, elected Archbishop of Polynesia, which puts him equal top in rank with Archbishop Philip and Archbishop Don, the Maori bishop. And we went over and tried to cause trouble and enjoyed that. But a few weeks ago he died, and a couple of Sundays ago we went up to his memorial service in Otahu, and there were family members from Fiji that we caught up with again and all sorts. So since this is the first time of being in green, I thought, right, I'll wear that today. I want to thank Aileen for all her work putting the PowerPoint together. Thank you for that. All the techies and the musicians, and that I bring Paul's best wishes about that as well today. Right. Turn it on, you clown. Okay. Right, so what we're going to look at is today's readings are about Jesus, the bread of life, and then I'm going to switch to called to worship and serve as a preview of next week's annual meeting. So we're going to look at that, and then next week we'll do something similar but in a shortened way. So first I want to set the scene for today's readings. In Exodus chapter 16, we're told about the Israelites early on in their 40 years trek through the desert complaining to Moses about hunger and thirst. And Moses talks to God, and God provides manna in the desert. They're not popcorn, they're manna, okay? Or if you want a better view, here it is here. That's a photograph that was taken 3,000 years ago showing what it looks like. You don't believe me? Okay. Right. That story is retold in Psalm 78. Listen to this. He rained down manna for them to eat. He gave them bread from heaven. They ate the food of angels. Think about that. God gave them all they could hold. Jesus picks this up, calling himself the bread of life. So we're going to hear about that. Jessica, would you come and read for us, please?
John 6, verse 27 to 35. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, "What must we do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do?" Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, "He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread."
Thanks, Jessica. Well done. People eat bread to satisfy physical hunger and to sustain physical life. We can satisfy spiritual hunger and sustain spiritual life only by a right relationship with Jesus. No wonder he called himself the bread of life. But bread must be eaten to sustain life, and Christ must be invited into our daily walk to sustain spiritual life. And that links us into today's epistle, Joyce. This is from Ephesians chapter 4. There are different verses popping up in it. It's about the way we live.
It's on page 1821 in the Pew Bible, and we're reading Ephesians 4, 1-7, then 11-13, then 15-16. Unity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned. Then we go to 11. It was he who gave some of the apostles, It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then we go to verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in the love as each part does its work.
So let's have a quick look at that reading and what comes up in it. So it started off talking about living a life worthy of your calling, living with humility and gentleness and patience and love and the other things that are listed there. And then in the third verse is this piece which we use often before communion in the peace. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We used that at 8 o'clock service this morning. And then it goes on and talks about our calling and about the grace of God's gifts to us. And in talking about the gifts, it talks about the calling, the way God provides or gifts people, some people to be apostles. And an apostle is, if you like, a super duper minister or whatever, who has a big oversight and dynamic leadership that guides the people. Prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, all for the building up of the church. And verse 13 says that we must grow to be as Christ. Now, we learn best when we hear things repeated or reinforced. So what I'm going to do is just emphasise Christian life through the same sort of slides that you've seen me use over the past weeks when we looked at the Old Testament and New Testament study. I'm not going to say anything new, just repeat it so that it's reinforced for you. And I want to start with what church is all about. And the most important thing about church is coming to worship God. That means praise and thanksgiving and worship. That means that real worship has a depth of emotion, a love for God, and invite him in. And I hope that next week, as we have the service and get ready for the AGM, that we'll sing a couple of really powerful songs and that you'll be prepared for God's love to flow through to you. So, as part of worship, we need to thank God. We need to, as Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, give thanks and bless his name. So this is a personal thing that you should be doing. And then Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's in me, within me, bless his holy name. It's a song as it is, but it's where we get the great hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, from Psalm 103. And another song that you might have sung, Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, let your glory be over all the earth. Psalm 57, it's also elsewhere. Psalm 97, for you, O Lord, are high above all the earth, you're exalted above all gods. And the next line goes into that great scripture and song, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. So this is all about praise. And then for the old Anglican 8 o'clockers who used to go to matins and used to sing or say the Venite, which is Latin for O come, O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation, and so on and so on. And then this other one, the Shema as it's known, from Deuteronomy, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and so on and so on. Now, I just warn you now, there's going to be someone pop up and just read a couple of passages. So picking up on that passage, this is what Jesus said about it. Raven. Thanks, Raven. So you can hear the two parts in that. Love God, love your neighbour. And that's where we're sort of exploring all of that today. Everything's based around those. As part of worship, I want to look at who God is and the honour we must bring him. So from Revelation, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power. And continually through those books, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. As we worship him, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. From Revelation, that you commonly hear, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honour and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. And these are the sorts of ones that you should be looking at if you're praising God. In the burning bush story from Exodus 3 with Moses, and God has revealed himself and he tells that God, my name is I Am. And then Jesus picks up on that, I Am, including the bread of life, which we heard this morning. And then the beauty of this, John, the beginning of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus, the Word is Jesus. So all of these are opportunities for worship. And then later on in that same passage, John tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. That could be a mantra that you could use all the time when you're remembering Jesus, his grace and his truth. And what comes out of that depth of worship is that God reveals to us his Shekinah glory. That means God's living presence. Now, it might not be in a bright sunlight, but it might be in your emotions and the depths of what you feel, the Shekinah glory of God. Here it is. Here's the emotions, the depth of spirituality as we worship God. Look at this story that the disciples came across. Jesus has just stilled the storm. They think they're going to drown, but Jesus has stilled the storm. And they say, who is this guy that even the winds and the waves obey him? Amazing. And God still acts in that sort of way in our lives. Philippians 2, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Okay, let's have a look at what Jesus did for us. And Revelation sums us up, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So, going back to Passover, the blood of the Lamb saved the Israelites, just as today the blood of Jesus the Lamb saves us. And there in Gethsemane, he prays because he's feeling terrible about the whole thing. And he actually says, yes, I'll do it. I will go to the cross for all you here in Brooklands today. And he suffered terribly straight after that. And then died on the cross, was buried. But God proves his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then he came back to life. Ah, what's going on here? And then, as you heard Jenny say earlier, he commanded his disciples to go and share the word. Whatever means that is. Maybe it's by making Christmas boxes. And then he ascends to heaven and there to be our advocate and also our judge. So let's have a quick look at what God does for us as we worship him. The first and most important thing is God loves us. He gives us life. He heals us. This is the woman with the flow of blood, Jesus bringing healing. He changes lives. This is from Luke 7, the sinful woman, the way he changed her life and can change ours. He sees us as the pearl of great price, gave up everything to purchase you. To purchase that pearl. You are that pearl. He rescues us. Luke 15, the lost sheep. He runs to us, the prodigal son. The father runs to this lost child. He serves us for the foot washing from the Last Supper. He cares for us. For the poor, the lost, the lonely, the troubled, and so on. He knows you by name. This is as Mary thinking about the gardener. And he calls your name. He searches for us. He comes knocking on the door for you. God comes to you. Not just sitting on that big throne up there, but he comes to you. He's our shepherd. Psalm 139 is about the personal God who's always there, who delights in us, who chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, says Jesus. In fact, he chose you before you were born. So nothing can separate us from his love. And so whether you live or die, you belong to the Lord. If you live, you belong to the Lord. If you die, you belong. So whether you live or die, you belong to the Lord. Know you not that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? God's Spirit dwells in you. Interesting, in our Wednesday Bible study group earlier last week, we were talking about Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilding the temple on the ruins. And one of our disciples came up with ruins. What about us being a temple of the Holy Spirit? Is our temple in ruins? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Yeah. So, God gives us gifts. Sorry. And he makes us a royal priesthood. He cares for us so we can cast all our cares on him. He loves us. Who else can we turn to? If you think about it, who else? He gives us grace upon grace. In other words, one blessing after another. Think of our blessings that we do have. Now, in order to develop a relationship with God, we're called to pray and to read our Bibles. Even Jesus went apart to pray. So if he had to do that, surely we need to do that as well. He gives us protection. And this is something that you should do daily, to cover yourself with the blood of Christ. So we've got this soldier wearing the belt of truth, the breastplate of salvation, your feet shod in the gospel, your daily reading protecting you, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is prayer. All of those. Prayer's not listed in that, but it should be. And then just for Brian and for me, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Trust in God. It's actually, if you think about it, a sin not to trust in God. That's interesting. And in 2 Chronicles, this famous verse where God promises forgiveness if we repent. He calls us to put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom. Not to worry about things. To be still and know that he is God. To know that our help comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from our mountain, although that's beautiful, but our help comes from the Lord. And he plans to prosper us. Listen to this. And you, last week, Kevin and Gillian alluded to this. She read some earlier verses. Listen to this. I will be found by you, says the Lord. So he requires us to seek what is the best we can. Right, so all of that was about worshipping God. That's the first half. The second half is what you do for your neighbour or what you do for others, the other requirements. If you think back here, here's this two-part. The first is worship God. The second is love your neighbour as yourself. Okay, if you've got a link, you might want to pick that up or you can have a look at this. This is the parish mission statement. Look at it, what it says. To faithfully serve our Lord Jesus Christ by being his hands, his feet and his voice in our community and beyond. All right? So it's automatically assumed that we're going to worship God, but there's what this parish is called to do. So we're called to serve as Jesus' hands and feet and voice in our community and beyond. Church exists for those who are out there, to invite people in so they might get to know Jesus. So let's go to that command that that Jesus gave to his disciples. So there's that promise and his command to us and the promise that he's with us. So it's your job to hear from God and act on that. Let's look at some slides that illustrate this. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, we're told to choose life. The commandment Moses offered the people, who are you going to worship, them or them? Choose life. Joshua, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We're told, relating to that command, and if you think of the story of the wise man built his house on the rock, to be hearers and doers, to be doers. There's no point in just hearing and not acting on it. Faith without works is dead. In one of the songs we sang earlier, it mentioned this, treasure in clay jars. We are only human, but God's Spirit dwells in us, and St. Paul describes us as treasures in clay jars. So we can act because he is in us. Jesus calls us to let our light shine before others. And in Micah, what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? We're called to be salt and light. We're called not to judge. We're called to do unto others this golden rule. We're called to be part of the vine, to be connected, attached to God, so that we can bear fruit. You can't bear fruit if you're not attached to the vine, and that's really important. I chose you, yeah, but so that you would bear fruit. So you're not just here to worship. That's part of it. The other part is so that you will bear fruit. It means developing characteristics. Galatians 7, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And developing those qualities, we are able to step out and touch others. So, use your story, your testimony, to spread the word. Don't go and evangelize. Don't go and Bible bash people. But what may change lives is for you telling your story. God did this for me. This is what happened. Maybe he can do that for you. And it's an easy way of spreading the gospel, easy way of sharing that with friends or whatever. Revelation, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Yeah. Look at today's, can you either take the link again, go inside to where today's collect is or gathering prayer. Here it is up here. I'll get you to read it. Let's say it together, whichever form you want. Okay, so let's pray. Holy God, you have shown us the bread that never perishes. You are the bread of life. May we hunger for that bread above all else, and seek to feed others with your life-giving love. For you are alive and reign with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So we're given the bread of life, but we are to seek to feed others. If you get the chance, read Romans 12, which is all about living this Christian life. So, let's tie all this together. God gifts us all different gifts as we fit together. If you think of the different skills across the congregation, just looking around, the skills that people have, and when you fit them together, you've got a complete organisation. Use your gifts to help others. Be flexible so God is able to use you. St. Paul gives us gifts, talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12, but then he says he's the best gift of all, the gift that we need to share. So do what you do in love. But life doesn't always go easily, and it can be very hard, and sometimes it's hard to see God in such times. Satan intends at things like this in your life for evil, to destroy you and what you're doing to open God's kingdom. But God has other plans, and other things usually open up as God brings good out of evil. A lot of stories in the Bible about that. Think of Joseph and his brothers. Joseph sold, but think of the good that came out of that. So hang on in there. Jesus is always there loving you and ensuring your end-time beliefs. We're all going to die sometime, but belief in Jesus ensures our destination. Look at 1 John. Because every child of God is able to defeat the world, and we win the victory over the world by means of our faith. Who can defeat the world? Only the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Psalm 91, a great psalm about God's protection of us. And so you find that in living through Jesus, your name is written in God's book of life. Okay, let's summarize. Jesus is the bread of life. We're called to worship God, praise and thanksgiving and love with everything that we've got. And that means praying and reading. And it means being God's hands and feet and voice in the community. So go out and do it.